www.ttbeat.com.
I'm going hard for my God like I went hard in these streets. Instead of chasing that money, I'm chasing G-O-D. Been trying to walk in this image since I've been forgiven. Just trying to let my light shine so y'all can see the God in them. I turned away from my old ways, say bye-bye to the dope gang. Put the guns down, open my mind to some new things. And I picked up that Bible, the devil ain't like it. I know that he mad, but I know Jesus is excited. Cause I'm about to grind for him, grind for him. Make sure he first in everything, give all my time to him. About to save a lot souls just off of my influence. And no, I ain't a preacher, I'ma do it through my music. It's a wonderful feeling when you let the Lord use you. Feeling like Dietrich Haller, have your way however you choose to. Just let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm a hustler for the Lord, about to re-up with
it. I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. Yeah, I was living wrong, but it's too late to get it right. I can go no longer go, living a sin-filled life. Man, I'm trying to be like Jesus, Jesus too, Jesus Christ. Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. And if you living wrong, it ain't too late to get it right. You can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, you need to be like Jesus, Jesus too, Jesus Christ.
Verse 2 is for those who probably know me from my past. Don't believe that I changed because they knew how I got down. Probably see me in them strip clubs or serving in them streets. Probably see me flexing bankrolls or swerving with a freak. I'm a two-time felon, what could the Lord do with me? Ain't nothing too hard for God, you just watch and you gon' see. Because a saint is just a sinner who fell down and got back up again. Devil had me on my knuckles, Jesus picked me up again. Dust me off, told me I should walk this way, talk this way. And any sign of trouble that I had that I ought to pray. I ain't worried no more. I tell you I ain't stressing, man. It's power that I found in God. I tell you it's a blessing. I ain't lying, man. Man, you should try, man. You keep on living by that gun, then you gon' die by it. Man, I ain't lying, man. Man, you should try, man. You keep on living by that gun, then you gon' die by it.
Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. Yeah, I was living wrong, but it's too late to get it right. I can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, I'm trying to be like Jesus, Jesus too, Jesus Christ. Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. And if you living wrong, it ain't too late to get it right. You can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, you need to be like Jesus, Jesus too, Jesus Christ.
So now you know I'm a changed man. Got a new game plan, but I still rock bust icy watches and chains, man. The Lord said come as you are, he love me for me. So all you older church folks, don't judge what you see. God judge up your heart, and since he changed your mind, don't judge before you get to know me, make me change my mind. Too many youth has left the church because they ain't feel love. The very place that pose the teachers are that God is love. How can you say you love God but don't show it? When you can love your haters like your brother, then you growing. And man, I'm growing, growing through his word. Stop trying to do it my way and let God work. And now I'm feeling moving, my blessings keep improving. When I say I'm on the ground for God, you ask me what I'm doing. Well, I'm serving, I'm living for his purpose, giving praise to his name at all times.
Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. Yeah, I was living wrong, but it's too late to get it right. I can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, I'm trying to be like Jesus, Jesus too, Jesus Christ. Man, I was living wrong, but I'm trying to get it right. And if you living wrong, it ain't too late to get it right. You can no longer go on living a sin-filled life. Man, you need to be like Jesus, Jesus too, Jesus Christ.
Hello, are you there? I think you might have your mute on. Is your mute button on? Okay, we're locked in. I just can't hear him. Okay, we seem to be having a little bit of difficulty here. I can see Richard Overall. Let me see if I can talk to him.
Can you hear me now? Hello?
Okay, yeah, I got you now.
You got me now? Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're good now.
Okay. All right. So what, are we going to start from scratch or what? Just pick up from the music?
Oh, no, the music already played.
Okay, so we'll just go from here then.
Okay.
All right. All righty then. Praise the Lord anyway. Hallelujah. Amen. We're having a little technical difficulties here, but amen. Hallelujah. That just tells me that this is important. Amen. What they say, when God start blessing, the devil start messing. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I was in the process of praying. Amen. And we're going to continue. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you. Hallelujah. That we did get this straightened out. We're asking that you continue to bless us with the intelligence of your wisdom and a deeper revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We ask that you bless the eyes of our understanding to be more enlightened, that we will better understand what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, and the inheritance you have in the saints, the great and exceeding power you have made available for those of us that submit and obey you. We ask that you bless us with the knowledge of your will, and give us the strength and the courage to carry it out so that we will be fruitful in every good work approved of by you. Bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Father, I ask that you bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people that which you would have me to say. Let it be all of you and none of me, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's what it is when we deal with this modern technology. We have challenges, amen, but we have overcome, amen. And I just thank God for my producer, Pastor O, amen. And it is something significant. I mean, it's really, because today I'm beginning a new topic, Jesus the Christ. And I think it's going to lead all the way up into Christmas, probably the end of the year, because it is a critical area to teach on, and I really have to, I can't say I'm intimidated because, you know, you do this thing by faith, and it really just requires submission, in other words, study. It means I don't watch that much TV as it is because there's so much stuff on that is just ignorant. But, you know, when I talk to people, we're dealing with a generation. You know, I remember reading in the Bible that about a generation that knew not the Lord. They weren't as much of the problem as their parents were, because the reason they didn't know the Lord was because their parents didn't know the Lord. And at any time in history, God has been available. Even though they had a different structure, some of which we will talk about today, of a relationship of authority with God, the average individual still, as we have seen in places in the Bible, could address God with their issues, their personal issues. One that comes to mind right now in the first book of Samuel, chapter 1, is a woman named Hannah. Hannah went to the Lord because she wanted to have a child. You know, she didn't go, she didn't have to go through somebody. She went directly to God, even though the verification came through the man of God. But still, that just sets brings to light that they could access God as an individual. We more so now have more direct access than they had. We have Christ on the inside. And I want to go through this. My hope, one is, is for people to understand that is not Jesus' last name. Amen. He wasn't born in the Christ family. Joseph's name wasn't Christ. Mary's name wasn't Christ. That name is directly related to God. And as with any issue, if you don't have clarity on it, go to God with it. Because, you know, I sit under some great teachers, and I have at different times encountered people that didn't comprehend what they were saying. And I was a little amazed because to me it was clear. But then again, the more pieces of this puzzle you have, the clearer the picture is. And I've been collecting pieces for some 45 years. So, yeah, it is clear to me. But to meet a generation that really think that man has the solution for the world's problem, you know, they're just oblivious to a reality that God's plan, the Bible say the plans of the Lord will manifest. We can make plans, but they're not God's plan. God's plan is based on eternity, not just now. We're the first generation man, and man is more than what meets the eye, okay? In the Bible, okay, we know the creation that God created man, okay? In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, you see in a marvelous event that oftentimes looked at is not taken into the depth of what really happened. And we often approach the issues of the Bible with, I would say, a prejudiced mind, a presumptive mind. In most cases, as though we really can't know the depth of it. I mean, there's some things that we will be, probably won't know till Jesus come back. But a lot of, in these last days, a lot of things that have been withheld are going to be revealed. What I'm sharing has been taught in great detail about the Christ, but again, what people are really try to do, Satan tries to get them to get away from the responsibility of being a Christian. Okay, Christian is a word that is not a religion. Man made a religion, but God never intended for that. That is his family. That is when a person have come to the realization that God is in command and control and they must be submissive to him, then they receive Christ. You're not born with Christ. And you have to be born again into the family of the kingdom of God. Now, it's going to take some time, and you're really going to, like I said, going to have to really pray about this. But, and this is mainly for the people that I just don't really know. I realize there are a lot of people that do know, and there are some people that don't know but just accept. And maybe this will help them to realize that we are a very distinguished, powerful people. But because of that, as I've been saying many times, this is why God has such strict criteria, particularly in the area of love. That, you know, you will find oftentimes terms in the Bible are synonymous, and that's because of how the Bible is structured and how God evolved information to us. You know, I mean, it's a process. It's some things he wants us to see psychologically, spiritually, because if he did not want us to see those things in such detail, Adam would have had the revelation of Jesus Christ day one, but he didn't. It could have been that God could have made the situation where Adam, no one ever needed a Savior. The Savior was automatically part of the plan. When God in Genesis 1:26 decided that he was going to create man, the type of person that he is which is far different from an angel. There was going to be a need for a savior because man wasn't going to be God by himself. He wasn't going to be perfect. There will always and only be one God. Okay? I want to begin my opening scripture is in Mark chapter 8 and verse 27. And it says, I'm reading from the NIV, and it says, Jesus and his disciples went to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. Okay? And on the way he asked them, who do people say I am? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets. But what about you, Jesus asked, who do you say I am? And Peter answered, you are the Christ. Now, the Christ means, is the word in the, in this particular was written, means Christos, the anointed one. And as I've been taught, it says the anointed one and his anointing. Now, in the what it's talking about, okay, if you have an anointing, okay, that's an authority. That's an appointment. That's power given. That's like an ambassadorship. And this is the critical issue. This is the issue that it is with Christ. Okay. Now, you got to understand God's total plan. Okay. We're going to rule and reign with Christ. I believe that says in Revelation chapter 20. You need to read the whole chapter slowly anyway, so you don't need the verse. That's part of my policy. I want you to read it and understand it because the magnitude of what is being discussed, particularly in the book of Revelation, if that don't you realize that you're dealing with extreme supernatural being, I shudder to say I don't know what can, because the individuals and the creatures and the type of activity that goes on in the book of Revelation is just something I don't think man would have ever conceived. I don't think he would have ever invented that. You know, it's got too many issues in there. But the issue here, what I want you to understand, is that God, when you're talking about ruling, look at what goes on in the world today. There's enough money in the world right now for everybody to live a wholesome life, at very minimum. To live a wholesome life. They talk about in this country to have a living wage. It is enough money for that in this country for every American to have a living wage. You pick any country, even Saudi Arabia, I mean the Middle East, anywhere, they can have a basic living standard for a family, a house, a car, food every day. And yet we have starvation cycles. While we have people sitting on billions. Now, these same people, I guarantee you, if they had the power that Jesus had, they would be harsh rulers. All right? Now, God, though, is intent that those that he give this power to in his fullness will rule as he rules. As he does, with love and compassion. See, I mean, look at this world. If God judged this world by how we do, how we act, this thing would have been over a long time ago. We wouldn't even be having this conversation. I'd have been wiped out a long time ago. You know, he was patient. Because the main thing you have to outgrow is selfishness. Now, Let me read this statement. It says about Jesus the Savior. As our Savior was in the original plan of creation, because of the gravity of the position for being a human spirit person, that they would need an intercessor of perfection to speak to the speaks to the distinction of man above all other creatures. Now, he is the only one, only creature in need of a savior, because he is a God, small g, small g. Let me clarify that. I don't want folks getting upset with me. Make a man of God. I've seen what Christians do to men of God that teach and taught on that. Hallelujah. He is a God, an individual intellectual being of enormous capacity, descended from God. And that's what you see in Genesis 2:7. I mean, the magnitude. When I sat down and I prayed about it and God showed me that stuff, what went on in Genesis 2:7, I felt like Jeremiah. I didn't want to say nothing because I know people grind. I'm amazed, but I'm not shocked. That's what God prepared me for. At the response of people, rather than and say, you know, I'm going to pray about this, you know. But we tend to, this is why we have all these different variations of beliefs. And it's amazing how quickly I stop a person simply by saying, did you ask God about it? See, if you look back at some of my most previous teaching, it's about pride. You can't have pride because you're not going to get it right all the time. And it's sad that a lot of people, I used to joke about this particular person, and one day a bear was going to smack them upside the head, and because they ignored me, I was just going to stand there and let the bear smack them upside the head. See, and this is the thing you have to understand. God will do you like that. If you stop listening to him, if you stop prejudging what he's going to do, he'll just shut down. He will shut down. He will not argue with you, debate with you. You got to understand this. I'm trying to the magnitude of what we're talking about here, Christ. Because let me give you a quick synopsis, all right? Okay, man is a creature of falling, failing, okay? He has a sin nature. God, by his nature, nothing unclean can be in his presence. So for us to be in his presence, okay, there has to be a barrier of protection for us from him, okay? I'm missing some of my notes, but I believe I can find it. Let's go. I want to go into the Old Testament here. Let's see. The book of Exodus, chapter 30. No, I don't think that's going to tell me. But that is part of my... hallelujah. Let me see. I know it's got... Oh, wait a minute. Nope. Well, let's follow the outline as we got it marked out. I'm getting ahead of myself anyway. And I don't want to go fast. Because I want clear understanding, particularly because, like I said, I talk to a lot of young people. You know, I drive Uber. And I don't do Uber. I mean, I do Uber. I get paid. Kind of sort of get paid, you know. But today I was putting on what is called a stock trade, and what I would make driving for 6 hours doing Uber, I made in probably 45 minutes in a stock trade. So if it was left up to me, the difference is I won't be communicating with anybody. And at most, I always pray for anybody that enters my car, either with them or after they, before and after the being led of the Holy Spirit. And that's, all of this is interrelated. But right now, we want to talk, we just read in Mark about who men, Jesus asked, who do men say that you are? Now, I want to go further on into Matthew. First, I want to go to Matthew chapter 26, down at verse 63. I want you to understand the impact of what that name, that stature is. Because it says, if you follow me, I'm going to try to get you a picture of it representing, see, we're representing who God is, what he is doing, how he relates to us, who we are, where this is going, why is it done this way, okay? And that's why the Bible is so thick. Okay, it has all this information in there in great detail. And then what's not in the Bible, you got to, man, because when the teachers that I sat under, man, I can't use the word intimidate, but I feel like I don't know nothing. And for God to tell me, but see, this is the thing. Most people would hear them and wouldn't know nothing. So I got to give you the elementary version, okay? Now, this is after Jesus has been arrested, okay? And he's before the Sanhedrin. It's a remnant of Jews that remained in Jerusalem after Israel had been carried off in captivity, okay? God always have a remnant. He's going to always hold it down. So these folk were left, and they were in charge with to a degree, I would say, legitimately. So they're questioning Jesus. Okay, and I'm gonna begin with verse 6. This is Matthew 26, verse 62. And the high priest arose and said unto him, "Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these against thee? What is it which these witness against thee?" But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, "I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God." And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." And the high priest rent his clothes, saying, "He has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now we have heard his blasphemy." Okay, then they decided to execute Jesus. Now, you got to get the impact of this. When you hear "son of," okay, as you are looking at my face right now in a video, or you look at anybody, you are seeing a manifestation of another person. They weren't the first of their kind. They are the manifestation of another person. So to say you are the Christ is to say you are the manifestation of God. Now, the reason God has a manifestation person is because God is omnipresent. Is there no central, that's the only way he can centrally locate for our benefit a person of his being. I don't want to get into deep terms like anthropomorphism, which is what they teach you in Bible college, that most people would never really. And our job is to take and elementally break down what all that means. And that's what I'm trying to do here. Because if I don't remember it, I want you to remember that this is about power. This is for Christians. There's power in you that is tremendous. And God is going to start using that for those that have made themselves available to him, as Jesus did. Now, okay, so what have we gathered so far? First off, the God made man, and man, he made man specifically. Man was going to need a savior because man was going to err. Man does not have at this time and at any time would not have totally 100% control of the environmental elements at all times. He will be subject to God all his eternity. But his power level will go off the chart, if you remember. Remember, training day is based on 1 John 3:2. It says, although it does not yet appear, when we see him, we shall be as he is. Okay? All this is interconnected. Now, Christ, as I say, is a layer between God, Jehovah God, and man. Okay? Necessary. Okay? Now, yeah, there's lots of material on this. If you don't get it, but don't not try to get this. I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 60. You see, you know, people, you hear a lot of things from people. They like to argue about who Jesus is without thinking about why Jesus is. The why is as important as the who. And the thing about it is, does God sanction who he is? And that's the key factor. I mean, come on, he did miracles. They say you couldn't hear. If they had tried to record all the miracles that Jesus did, the books would fill the earth. And that's what he did all day. He had the spirit without measure, the spirit of God without measure. He had faith without measure. Because we're going to see in the word who he is. What Christ, what you're hearing is what, who Christ is, why Christ is. This is, again, from the NIV. This is Isaiah chapter 60:16. You know, first, back when I was reading this, I was in getting, before I had read Titus 3:8-9, where it tells us not to debate. I would debate people, but they couldn't even argue with this. It says, you will drink the milk of nations, be nursed at royal breasts, then you will know that I, the Lord, am your Savior, your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Okay? Now, let me read that again. You will drink. Then you will know that I, the Lord, Jehovah, am your Savior, your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Now, that tells you who the Savior is. But again, you got to see him and his omnipresence dealing with people with limited presence, such as us, individual beings. I mean, again, I have to recall to your mind that we're the first generation to look at us actually under a microscope and see that our entire structure, every aspect of us, can be seen at the cellular atomic level. And the uniqueness, the distinction of each cell being individual but yet working in a coordination based on its design and yet being controlled by us speaks volumes about the spirit of man. When God released his breath into that dirt, it became a separate individual known as a soul. And we know that a soul is the mind, will, and emotion. Think about that. We talk about science right now, be cutting open brains trying to find the mind. You're not going to find it, scientists. It just ain't there. That's a word, descriptive power and authority, the ability to focus on a specific issue. Okay? Will is action toward the focus, intent, will, intent, will of God, intent, will of man, intent. And emotion is evaluation. It makes you happy, makes you sad, makes you confused, whatever it does. Okay? These are controlled by us. Okay? Now, but your spirit, however, has all the information you had back from the time you came out of your mother's womb, even before then. Even before then, before you came out of your mother's womb, okay, it had the capability. You know, I know you got to see the magnitude of what it is to be a spirit man. Okay, So, now, where are we? Okay. So we're talking about the Christ and the anointing. Now, I got to get to this. I can't let this go. Because now it's imperative that you understand the oil or the anointing. That's where I had it right. All right. Now, okay, we're talking about Christ, which means it's the word Christos, and it relates to the anointing. And the anointing the anointing is a transference of authority. That's the simplest explanation. I give you my authority, and to be the Christ gives you control of the anointing. Who will receive it? Who will not? Again, a lot of believers deny themselves the full benefit of that. I'm just going to follow the Holy Spirit. I'm trying to go one way. He wants to go another, and he's God. See, that's the other thing. All right. Now, again, like I say, Christ is not Jesus' last name. It is a statement of authority from the only God of creation, the Lord God Jehovah. Okay? And if you read in the Hebrew, he has a whole lot of other names. But this particular issue where it says that, well, you see when it talks about in Isaiah 60:16, it uses all capital letters. Whenever you're reading, particularly, this is in the NIV, whenever you see all capital letters, it is using the name Jehovah. And in the original, well, in the translation, it's spelled with a Y, okay, because they don't have J in the alphabet. They don't have no vowels in the alphabet. They actually come from what is called the tetragrammaton, okay? That's the symbols YHWH from what they get the name Yahweh, okay? But again, what we're talking about is the power of God in the fullness. See, we don't, you know, they have these, for drag racing, for any racing, they always have a school that you can go to that you have to go to get a license to learn how to drive. Why? Because you're handling power at extremes. Not only are you handling power that will go forward fast, you got to handle it in NASCAR racing. You got to be able to handle it in the midst of a turn. You got to know how far to go before you lose control of the car. You have to be taught how to deal with gravity and centrifugal force and inertia all at the same time. We go through life and we just think we're just here to go and have a little fun and then die. And till death comes. Then we get a little saddened over that, not knowing the fullness of the story. Because this thing is coming to an end. It's coming to part two of a three-part story. Attention with that, because it is a three-part story. Part one began with Adam, ends after the tribulation period. Part two begins with the Battle of Armageddon, or right after the Battle of Armageddon, where Jesus Christ himself is sitting on the throne in Jerusalem, ruling physically, visibly, okay, for 1,000 years, and we are doing his work. He's assigning us work and the magnitude of that at a different level. And part three begins, and when he makes in Revelation chapter 21, where he makes a new heaven, new earth, because he gets rid of this one because it's tainted. That's obvious. And he replaces it with a new one. Okay, and that's the end of the story. And again, God could have started from right there, but he didn't because he wanted a family. And he won't, listen, love, he wanted us to give love to him. He didn't want forced love. He didn't want mechanical love. See, I'm sure angels love him if they understand it as much as they can, but not like we do, okay? My whole point is over these next few weeks, however long this lasts, is for you to understand it, because you are the representative on the earth, and God is incumbent upon you to start listening more to God, meaning you're going to have to pick up the word and read it. You're going to have to sit still and listen. You're going to have to put aside some things that you think are important and make God's issue important. It's how you going to be able to give every man the answer of the hope that lie in you if you don't even know the hope that lie in you? You're going to need to know what this is about. You're really going to need to know, because we're coming into a challenging time. Look at the world. It is not getting better. It's not going to get better. Don't delude yourself with that. Your environment can be stabilized, but you can't fix the world. A lot of what's going on right now is because of the ignorance of the body of Christ. Not that the devil has grown a new set of wings and gained more power. There's less prayer. There's less resistance. There's less understanding. And it's amazing. We have more information about this thing than any other generation. Okay? Now, where we at? We're on the anointing. So, first, I want to get to the very first prophecy of Jesus coming, and that's in Genesis chapter 3. Man, we're having fun. Time getting on. All right, this is what then happened. God then created Adam and Eve. They've been in the garden. They've been having a good time and enjoying themselves. And then Satan slips in there as the serpent in Genesis chapter 3 at the beginning of this chapter. And he runs his game on Eve and tell her that she already is what she is. Okay? You shall be as God. He lies. He perverts her. He uses perversion. She already was an authority, okay, in the earth. I mean, they were the only ones. How could they not be? All right. So beginning, God now addresses the issue. And so the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and will eat dust all the days of your life. That's why snakes crawl. They used to have feet. And I will put enmity, or an enemy relationship, between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers, and he will crush your head and you will strike his heel. Now, I want to read that in the KJV because they left out something very vital, very vital, very, very vital. This is why you have to read more than one. Now, this is the KJV version. This is the original. This is what it says with all the Hebrew language. And it says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. All right? Now, that's the difference between offspring and seed, because women do not have seed. This right there, that's a reference to Christ. That's why Mary had a child in virginity. That's what this is referring to, and that is very significant, okay? Then it says, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel, okay, which leads up to his death, burial, and resurrection. All right, her seed, okay? This is the first reference of Christ. Now, I want to go to another one as time is moving on, to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 9, because the irony here, and specifically, it speaks to the anointed one, or as it is called in the Hebrew, the Mashiach, the Messianic, the Messiah. This is Daniel chapter 9, verse 25 and 26. And it's a prophetic event of the coming of the Messiah. But the key here, now think about this too. Now this is 600 years before Christ is born. See, God has put this in the heart of man because it's part of the plan necessary to redeem mankind, because man can't be perfect, inerrant. It's just, this wasn't going to be, because he would have to be God, and he ain't, okay? But that is not an excuse to live in sin, okay? But what is, and if his power, if we were just going to be walking around on earth like we are now, I don't think we'd have to go through all this, because we really wouldn't be that much of a threat, especially if you take Satan out of the picture. You take him out of the picture, and we have no problem. He's the problem. So why did God leave him in the problem? For those of you that's interested, I got a series in there on YouTube. It's called Why God Let the Devil Exist. Because God can't lie, steal, cheat, connive. And we need to understand what is God good and what is man good. You know, it's sad. I saw some Christians call themselves people of faith to support abortion. God has the only law against abortion. That's in Jeremiah. We learned that with Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, that life begins in the heart of God, not in the womb. It began with God when he made Adam. That was the transference. Everybody came from there. God get to decide that, but that's another issue. Because they see, again, they're not people, I guarantee you, they do not pray daily. They do not pray at all, if at all. If you're serious about God, one thing I know about God, when I'm wrong, I don't go, he don't wait till tomorrow to tell me. He can tell me right away, okay? Why? Because there's a constant threat level. Constant. And there's the need for me to be clean before him, for me to access the power that he need me to access, for him to be able to do what he need to do. All these things come into play, okay? This is why we live the way we live. Living right is more about is more about what God needs us for to do for others than it is for us. Okay? But anyway, it says, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, the wall, even in troublous time. After 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with the flood. And unto the end of war, desolations are determined. I know I kind of chopped that up. But the main hall I want you to see in there is the term Messiah, okay, anointed one, and his anointing. Because it's very critical to understand that this, again, we're not just talking about anointing or power being given from, like, say, the President of the United States when he appoints someone to be ambassador, even though when they're in another country, they represent the United States of America, which is presently one of the most formidable powers on the planet. But that was during the sanctification days. This, however, is talking about God being manifest in the flesh in the fullness, which Jesus was. You know, the amazing thing, when we go back and you look at Matthew chapter 26, they was upset with Jesus, but they couldn't deny the miracles. They couldn't. They were, when you read through there, they were there, present, following him around, and people were blinds of being, their eyes are either being open or made, and people are getting up and walk that never walked in their life. And, I mean, he feeding 15,000 people with 7 loaves, 5 loaves, and 2 fishes. You know, it was endless. And as it has been, I don't think they accidentally described, I don't think they exaggerated that they could not record. I think once he got up in the morning, he went to work, came out the house, every place he went, miracles happened because he was God manifest in the flesh. And that was before he actually received the title Christ, even though he was the Christ, because he had to go to the cross to be become Lord Jesus Christ. That's another distinction. That's another distinction level. Amen. All right. So let's try to get this picture together. Christ is the anointing. It's a name that says, I have authority from the Lord God Jehovah Almighty to do his will in the earth. Okay. So when you are a Christian, first, to be a Christian, you can't just be a good person going to church. Because there have been, you know, I think pastors may need to survey their churches because people come in there and sit down because of their pride. They won't get up and go forth and acknowledge that they need Christ as Savior. Go in, sit down at a church, go to church regularly, join the usher board, pay tithes and offering, and never accepted Christ as Savior. That's an actual event. Because you don't see a mist, a red mist in the air drop down out of heaven and drape a person. Doesn't mean something physical, spiritual isn't happening. I tell you what, those of us that have made that decision know, you know, we oftentimes, I know in my own case, I took it lightly. You know, God took me back on a review and showed me the exact moment that I accepted Christ. The exact moment I was at Fort Whithaven in the Steel Rose. I picked up a track off the ground, read the track aloud. That, believe me or not, I mean, understand that doing that locked me into a contract with God that allowed God at many times to save my life because he had that privilege. Because when you accept Christ, there's a lot of privilege to come with that. We don't even know about it because we don't read the word. We don't take him that serious. God can tell how serious you are by how much you read his word. If you put the effort in to read his word, he will make sure you understand it. He'll bring, like he did with he'll bring somebody to explain. That's what pastors' jobs are for, to explain. You know, I praise God for my pastor. That man, I'm telling you, I pray for him because, you know, he's old school. I mean, at the end of service, when he had time, when his schedule allowed, he would stay after service just to ask simple questions that people have. And that says a lot because I remember when I got saved, I didn't even know how to date. I didn't know none of that. You need that information. Matter of fact, you have all the pastors stand there, and all the ministers have to stand there for that reason, you know. And he's been doing this a long time. God put it on his heart, and he just do what he told. All right, so let's draw a picture. We find out Christ means the anointing. The anointed one and his anointing, which means authority from God. From God. From the God creator of heaven and earth. We know that it is we're going to see next week that it is a protective layer. We have a privilege that the children of Israel did not have by having Christ on the inside. We're going to find out that what it says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, to boldly go before the throne is privilege, big, great privilege, because you could not do that. We're going to see where you could not do that without being anointed by God. And people don't know. They don't go. You tell them they can go down there to Fox Theater. That's in Detroit. It's one of the best theaters. Oh, it's beautiful in there. But anyway, you give them tickets, they'll go down there. But you tell them to go before the throne of God, and that's a privilege. That's a privilege. And I want to say right quick, don't just watch crime and go, oh, man, this is going crazy. Whenever you see a crime on the news, pray that God will send Holy Spirit and angels to help police locate the guilty party. Because when they get arrested, they can probably get saved in jail. And you're going to see something. You're going to see more people getting arrested. Anyway, because we have authority. This is what this is about. God wants us to use the authority, and we can have peace on earth. That's what it says in 2 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, that we may have peace. Pray for all men that we may have peace. See, We have tremendous power we're not using. But my hope here is to get that clarity that Christ and Christianity is not a religion. It's a training platform for being in the power of God. That's why I use the phrase training day. I got that from Watchman Nee. Didn't call it training day, but I did when I figured out what he was talking about, or when the Holy Spirit revealed to me. And the reason it took so long is because I had to open my heart and say, I will receive what you reveal. See, that's how God operated. If you don't want to hear it, you know, when I first, I started going to this church that they prayed in tongues. I didn't start out praying in tongues every day. It wasn't until I was open to receive it that God began to reveal that it was more than me making some noise. And he began to detail it. So now that I fully understand the role I am playing in praying for people in other nations that I may meet, I probably won't meet until, you know, the rapture. This is the role, the authority, the anointing, the having that authority, to have that Christ operating in me. I want this, so when you're reading and you see the word Christ, it's going to give your spirit joy. And you won't just think of yourself as a religious person. You know, it'll change how you perceive life. Like I said, we're going to walk through this. We're going to walk slowly because, you know, I'm spending time with God. I'm spending extra time with God because I want clarity on this, because the world is crazier from the lack of Christianity. My mother's in them generation, they prayed. They didn't even really, I don't think, understood prayer as we do, but they were faithful at it. I knew where my mother was 3-4 times a day. You know, it's something. Now I really understand it. You know, I don't get up and pray because I feel like I'd sin if I didn't. You know, sometimes I'd be too tired to get up. But I get up later. I pray because I know I'm affecting, I'm carrying out the will of God. I know that he is using that opportunity to bless somebody. I know when I'm praying for those in authority, God is going to do all he can to get them to do the right thing. If they don't do the right thing, if a government official don't do the right thing, I guarantee you that the saints that live in that vicinity will hear about it when they go into judgment after death. That's how powerful we is. God is going, everybody going to give account of their deeds. But what James 4:17 said, if we don't pray, we in sin. That's sin of omission. All right. Now, you can't even really begin to pray unless you have Christ, unless you have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's the number one criteria that causes prayer to fail. A lot of people think that they can pray. They can pray, and if God, he does mercy prayer. Okay, and I don't want to teach on that right now. Knowing that you have Christ, that's a guaranteed authority. So right now, just say this prayer with me. Lord God in heaven, I believe that Jesus is your son and that he died on the cross for me at Calvary. And I acknowledge that I was born in sin and I ask forgiveness for my sins. And Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me now. And I believe in my heart and I say with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and I am born again. And for those that may have backslidden, say, Father God, I ask forgiveness according to 1 John 1:9, and I thank you that you have forgiven me and shall cleanse me from all unrighteousness as I lean toward you and read in your word and believe you, and I thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. All right. We just beginning this. This is what they call the preamble. And we just starting this process. And it is Jesus the Christ. And remember this. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. And God is love. Shalom. See you next week. Yeah.
That's for now.
I'm in rebellion. Some extravagant weekends, man, if that's a highlight, my puff puff past that. You live evaporated like missing a gas cap. I guess I'm past that. I'm in rebellion. I'd rather have a dollar in my pocket than a million. I'm scared of what your money. My pump's over Elio. I remain a rebel while the rest of them just carry on. This is what I live for. This is hell I'm buried on. If Jesus is the truth, that means one of us is very wrong. Think about it. But you can't do both. Yeah, I know you heard that once in a song. I pray it's in most for you gone. Hey, listen, I'm home. Stage in the corner, crowd in the street. And I rap the bread of life because they dying to
they
eat. Hey, I'm a rebel, you know the kind of die in the street. Cause you refuse to conform, won't eat the king's meat.
Yeah.
Christ rebelled by shedding the culture. He eating with the sinners, giving Pharisees ulcers. He never got married, he was broke plus homeless. God, I roll with your boy, got a wife. No, I never cheat. I'm praying for humility whenever I get hit. Forget about the drugs, rebel against pornography. This ain't how it ought to be on me. It's how it's gotta be. A rebel. I'm in rebellion.
You're just a conformist if you're drunk and naked, driving around on a loud motorcycle, smoking cigarettes and breaking commandments and getting pregnant out of wedlock. Everyone's done that. That's so tired. If you really want to be a rebel,